Genesis chapter 45, verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Let's go down to verse 20. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. Verse 24, So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. It's not my purpose, beloved brethren, to go into all the details of this little account that we've just read together, but rather to take from it some applications for ourselves that I believe would be helpful to us in the pathway that the Lord has called us into. The verse that we began with, Joseph sends a message that God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. And oh, I believe, beloved brethren, if we are going to go on for the Lord's glory in this world, the very first thing that we need to get before our souls is the present position of the Lord Jesus Christ as exalted and Lord. And if we get that before our souls, everything else, I believe, will fall into place in the pathway. There's every provision made for us. But the first message that was to be given to Jacob was this. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. And then immediately he says, Come down unto me, tarry not. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, what God has set before us, I believe, in these meetings and in the ministry we've just had for our souls is the glory of that blessed Savior, the position that God has put him in, and we in association with him. And now the practical side of it is, he says, Come down unto me, tarry not. Oh, it isn't enough to know that he's Lord, but I believe that God would have us, our souls, drawn in such a way that we would be going to him. Earlier, Joseph, in making himself known to his brethren, and I realize that has a dispensational side to it, and we rejoice in that thought that in a coming day the Lord is going to make himself known to Israel. It will be a wonderful time, won't it? But I believe that practical side of it is good for our own souls, that the Lord would say to us, Come near unto me. And even as he says to his father, Jacob here, Come down unto me. Tarry not. Oh, beloved, has your heart been taken hold of by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you enjoy the fact that God has exalted him, has raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, and has made him Lord over all? Does that rejoice your soul? If that gets a hold of your heart, how easy it will be for you to come down to him. Because then you can trust him with everything. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all. Everything has been committed into his hands. And all we have to do is to come down to him. And he's made every provision for us. I've been struck as I read with this little account. And I just read it for the first time in a little while, perhaps a few weeks again. And as we were reading it out loud, I was struck again with the fact that God has made every provision for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to need it because there are 5 years of famine yet. There are 5 years of famine yet. But we need not fear it because we dwell by him. We dwell in the land of Goshen, in a good land. And he's going to make every provision for us. And he has made every provision for us. He says in verse 10, "And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be," notice it, brethren, "near unto me." Oh, do you know the delight of being near to the Lord Jesus Christ? And not just for ourselves, but what an encouragement it is to those of us who have children and households and grandchildren. He says here, "Thou and thy children and thy children's children." That's God's desire, that our households be blessed. And God has extended that blessing not just to one generation, but he says, "Thy children's children, thy children's children." You know, I didn't notice so many of those scriptures about children's children until a few years ago, when that state of things caught up with me in life, and I began to realize that God has an awful lot to say. I was very conscious earlier of things that he had to say as parents to us, but there's an awful lot to be said as grandparents too. And as some brother remarked on that, I believe yesterday, and I took fresh encouragement from it, the importance of a function as a grandparent, to be able to communicate the truth of God, not just to our children, but to our children's children. But then it also says, "Thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast," everything that we have is to be brought near to the Lord. And I believe that's the secret of a happy Christian life, is that we draw near to him and walk with him, and that in everything that we have, that it be morally brought near to the Lord in such a way that we have bring the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's desires in connection with all that we have. Verse 11, "There will I nourish thee, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." I want to be very plain in commenting on this verse, beloved brethren. I don't care how much you accumulate of this world's goods and how much you think about your children and provide for them and how many insurance policies you buy and how many bank accounts you set up for them, you're going to come to poverty unless the Lord nourishes you. Unless the Lord nourishes your children. And I'll put it the other way too, because I believe it's so important that if you walk in dependence on the Lord, and if you're walking near to him, if you're occupied with his position as the Lord of all, and you realize that he has purpose to sustain you through the years of famine, it doesn't matter how little you have, you will never come to poverty in the way that's important. I don't mean you won't be poor. in this world's goods. I don't think we can guarantee that in any way to our beloved brethren. I believe I've seen too much of it, not in this country, but in other countries. I've seen too much poverty among the Lord's people to realize that, that the Lord has not promised earthly riches to any of us. He's given us so much here, and we can be very thankful for what He's given us. And I don't mean in any way to despise what the Lord has given us either, and we ought to use it for His glory. But I believe that poverty, in a material sense, often brings riches in a spiritual sense. God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. And I've seen some of that in some of our other brethren who've traveled to Latin America and Africa and other places can testify to that, that we've seen spiritual riches in the hands of those who were very poor as far as this world's goods. But the kind of poverty we want to insure against is not material poverty, brethren. That's the point. We ought to be close to Him so that is indeed, and there'll not be any poverty to our household. And that's why I believe He says, I will nourish thee. The Lord will nourish us. That's what we want, isn't it? We want His nourishment for our souls and for our families, for our households. God delights to bless by household. Oh, I take encouragement from that. I remember Gordon's father telling me when I was a young parent, he said, if it weren't for that, he would have been afraid to have children. And I've reflected on that so often. If it weren't for God's household blessing, how He delights to bless by households. And it's over and over again in Scripture. I'm not talking simply about the question of baptism. I know there's a difference of opinion on that. But I'm talking about the blessing of households. It's in God's Word, and it's there for our encouragement. And young brother and sister, take courage from that. God isn't just interested in you. He's interested in you, your children, your children's children, your whole household. He wants to bless it. But it requires us to be near to the Lord Jesus. It requires us to be occupied with His place as Lord of all. To realize that all is in His hands. And if we're in His hands and we're walking in communion with Him and in subjection to Him, what can we fear for our households? I think of that wise woman in the that delightful woman, that woman of worth in Proverbs 31. She's not afraid of the cold. She's not afraid of the cold. There's the practical provision there. And I believe if we see those things, not only in their literal sense, I'm sure they have a literal application, but I believe they have a real spiritual sense there. And I believe that a godly mother, a godly father is interested in providing, not just making sure your children have an education and that they have money and they have clothing and those things. That's a wrong motive. It's nice to have those things, and if we can use them for God's glory, fine. But if our focus is on that, we've lost the focus of the Christian life, which is our treasure in heaven. Our focus is to be upon that which is above. And for our children, our goal should be, for our grandchildren, is to be not that they get a prize for performing in some concert somewhere. That's nice, and it might be nice if they do that, I don't know, but I think the thing that we want to see is a well done from the Lord for our children and our grandchildren. I remember my dear mother telling us years ago that nothing would make her happier. She had in Nepal some reason, I don't know why it was, but that was very much on her heart. She read that Nepal was a country that the gospel had never entered into, and that there was such heathen darkness in it. And she said, nothing would make me happier than if one of my children would lay down his life One of us boys would lay down our lives in order that the gospel might get to that country. Well, that wasn't in the will of the Lord, but I believe that desire was a godly desire. It wasn't for achievement down here. It was for eternal things. And I believe every parent that is in communion with the Lord will have that same desire for his children and his children's children. There's a lovely expression in the 13th verse, hasten on. Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Oh, beloved, what an occupation. That's what will produce godliness among us. That's what will produce happiness and harmony in the assembly, is if we're telling each other of the glory of God's beloved Son. Oh, God has such delight in glorifying Him. Shouldn't we have delight in speaking of His glory? Shouldn't it be our happy occupation to tell of His glory, to occupy our brothers and sisters with His glory? In the lovely passage that was read earlier today in the book of John, if you go on a few verses in connection with Thomas, Thomas wasn't there, as we know, when the Lord appeared first in the midst of his brethren in resurrection. But they went to Thomas and they said to him, Thomas, you should have been at meeting. That's where you should have been. Is that what they said? That would only produce antagonism, beloved brother. That isn't what we do. Why weren't you at the meeting last night? What were you doing? Is that the way we do it? No. And we read there that they said to him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. How that speaks to our hearts, doesn't it? If we were to go from the presence of the Lord Jesus to someone, and perhaps, my dear brother and sister, tomorrow in your daily occupation, you'll meet one of the Christians that missed being here this morning. And whatever the reason, do you want to win his or her heart for Christ? Just tell them, we've seen the Lord. Oh, yesterday morning as we gathered around him, we saw him. He showed us his hands and his side, and we were glad when we saw the Lord. I don't know exactly what went on in Thomas's heart. I only know this, he was there the next Lord's Day, wasn't he? He was there with them the next Lord's Day. Again, I leave aside the dispensational aspect of that. Thomas represents Israel, and they'll be, again, he's the same position as Joseph's brethren, I believe. There's a coming day when the Lord will make himself known to them. What are these wounds in thine hands? And also they'll see and they'll say, they'll look on him whom they've pierced, and it will have a blessed effect upon them. But I want to say to you, my brother and sister, if you want to help a brother or sister who didn't get to the meeting, don't badger them with their not being at the meeting, but just tell them you've seen the Lord. Speak of his glory. Occupy their hearts with his glory. I have to confess how often it is that we sit down at our table, and I have faithful children that sometimes remind me about this. We sit down and we get talking about some problem in the assembly, and they say, Dad, couldn't we talk about something other than that? Something that'll build us up and edify us? Oh, how I thank the Lord for that faithfulness. That isn't helpful. Oh, I know we have to talk about these things sometimes, but I think we talk about them far more often than we should. I mentioned here before, but not to the same audience, and I hope Sister Hadley will forgive me for repeating this again, but when we go to visit in her home, if we get talking about something that's unprofitable, Sue has a nice little expression. She says, do you think the rain will hurt the rhubarb? And it's a wonderful break on our conversation. And I think of that so often as we speak together, because it reminds us that we're talking about something that is unprofitable. And far better that we speak of that which has to do with the glory of God's beloved Son, to build one another up, to encourage one another. And then it says, not only of my glory in Egypt, but it says, and of all that ye have seen. It isn't just doctrine we want to talk about to one another, brethren, but what has power in the hearts of our own hearts and in our brethren's hearts is what you and I have seen, what we've seen, what we've entered into, what we've enjoyed, what you and I personally have taken in. It's one thing to be able to recite a creed that would have all the proper words in it as to the Lord's present position at the right hand of God. It's another thing to say, oh, I've seen it. And that's what I referred to before in that little passage in John. We have seen the Lord, all that we have seen. Make it a point when you go home, if there's some brother or sister that hasn't been able to be here today, tell them of what you enjoyed and saw of Christ in the meetings. And there'll be blessing, brethren. There will be blessing and encouragement to one another. You'll lift that brother and sister up. You'll help them along the way. And you know the saying in the wonderful little verse in Song of Songs where it says, draw me, we will run after thee. Because if the Lord draws your heart and mine after Him, it'll have an effect on others, because we'll speak of Him, of His glory, and of what we've seen. Oh, the affection of Joseph here. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. He kissed all his brethren. Have you ever felt that kiss, brethren? Have you felt the Lord Jesus kiss at these meetings? I have. I've felt Him kiss me. And it's been a precious thing. It's a precious thing when the Lord, when you feel His affection for you, you feel that kiss of love, you feel, I just felt that particularly when Brother Michael read those scriptures yesterday before we sang the last hymn in the open meeting. I just felt the Lord kissing me. Those are lovely scriptures. I just felt the kiss of the Lord. I just point out I didn't read verse 16, but you know, it has an effect in Pharaoh's house too. Remember that, brethren. It isn't just among the saints that if there's a love and affection going out to the Lord Jesus Christ and an enjoyment of His love, the fame of it will go out in Pharaoh's house also. There'll be an effect outside that'll be for the glory of the Lord. They'll recognize that it's Joseph's brethren. They'll recognize these people have been with Jesus. They've been in association with Him. And the fame of it will go out there. Go down to verse 20. Regard not your stuff. That becomes easy once we learn of the glory of God's beloved Son. It's easy to let go of those things once we've gotten a hold of real riches, isn't it? I believe that's the trouble, brethren, why we get that spiritual disease that our brother Jim Kilcup talked about yesterday, where we have a trailer and nothing wrong with a trailer now, but I think we got the lesson, didn't we? It was all these things that we become so acquisitive and we want to have this and that and the other thing. And we have such regard for our stuff. And why is it? Because we've lost sight of heavenly treasure, heavenly riches. Thyself our treasure in a brighter sphere. That's what our brother Gordon was bringing before us before, and I believe it's the lesson we want to remember. Regard not your stuff. Don't worry about all that stuff of Egypt. It doesn't mean anything. It's all going to be left behind. It's all going to be left behind. Now notice verse 21. And the children of Israel did so. Brethren, it's one thing to get admonitions. It's another thing to do what we're told. And I find that's the hard part in my life. And I'm sure Some of you might find it the same way. It's one thing to know all these things and to talk about them at a conference. It's kind of easy to go back and forth with comments. They flow, and the scriptures carry our hearts on, and we enjoy the truth. And then Monday morning comes. Do we do what we've been exhorted to do? Well, I think it's nice here. The children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them, and this is what really touches my heart, he gave them provision for the way. Hardy said yesterday that God has given us every provision. God has given us every provision that we need. And that wasn't just Hardy's thought. That's from the Word of God, isn't it? God has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need. The Lord Jesus has provided for the pathway. What a provision. Changes of raiment. Asses laden with the good things of Egypt. 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. All the sustenance that we need for our journey homeward has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't a thing we need to go to the world for, brethren. Not a thing. It's all provided. Right here. Right here. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, oh, does this have to be in here? Yes, he knows our hearts. See that ye fall not out by the way. Mr. Darby's translation says, see, do not quarrel on the way. And I believe that's been the bane of the Church of God since the days of Pentecost until now, is the quarreling that goes on among those who have every provision made for their pathway, but they get their eye off the Lord Jesus, and they get quarreling among themselves, and they fall out on the way. And I don't want to be any prophet of doom. A sister admonished me after one meeting. She says, oh, brother, you sounded like a prophet of doom when you spoke. And I don't want to be that, but I think I want to be faithful. I believe that there is a tendency in our hearts that the Lord Jesus knows. And so he calls attention to it besides all the practical provision and the doctrine and all the wonderful things that we have. He tells us, now don't fall out on the way home. It's not many years ago that we had a bad falling out, right? Not long after the Dorothy meetings, am I right? We've never recovered from those things. God in his grace comes in wonderfully. But we don't recover. The scars are there. And can I guarantee you that there won't be any falling out next week or 2 weeks from now? All I can say to you is the Lord Jesus says to us, to you and to me, now don't fall out, don't quarrel on the way home. What? Do we have to be told to get along with one another? Yes, we do. Because that's the way we are, brethren. That's the way I am. And I'm sure that the Lord, in putting this within his word in type here, knew every heart and knew our tendencies. Knew what we were like. And so he tells us, now don't fall out on the way home. I just want to close by reading an encouraging verse at the end of the chapter. I'll just read the closing verses of 25th, but I want to comment on the last one. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. What a wonderful thought for our souls. We have a living Savior, brethren. And we can testify to that. We have a living Savior. Joseph, a wonderful picture of our living Savior here. Joseph is alive. He's alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. God hath given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. What a wonderful thought. And his heart fainted. His heart fainted, for he believed them not. Unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, what a weed it is, brethren, in our hearts. Wonderful news. Joseph's alive. It was too much for him. Too much for him. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Is there a fainting heart of unbelief? What's the remedy? The words of Joseph, brethren. The words of Joseph. It isn't argument. It isn't proving things to one another. It's just the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, oh, brethren, have you ever seen the wagon that the Lord has sent to carry you home? Have you ever enjoyed that thought? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the wonderful provision the Lord has made to bring us all the way home. All the way home. All the way home. When he saw that, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Is there a faint heart? You want to be an encouragement to him? You want to be an encouragement? Tell him the words of Joseph, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show him the wagons. Let him see a testimony that you are going to walk in dependence on the Lord. And you're going to take His provision for you in the pathway. And it'll cheer and encourage the fainting heart. It'll revive him. It'll revive him. And Israel says it is enough. Oh, it's the wagons. That's what I'm happy about. Is that what he says? He says the wagons are the wonderful thing. All that wonderful food on the way to Egypt. Is that what he's occupied with? No, he doesn't say that at all. Joseph is alive. Joseph is alive. And he says, I will go and see him before I die. I will go and see him. Brethren, we're on our way to see him. We're on our way to see him. And that should be the thought that will exercise our hearts. That's what will encourage us and revive us. And how do we communicate that to one another? It's with the words of Joseph. May we be encouraged to do so with one another. And brethren, see that you fall not out by the way.